You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
It is time the whole world went to school again to acquire an educated mind and an educated heart.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, we pray for wisdom, not just for knowledge, but for wisdom. Help to educate our minds and hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit, with his teaching and his leading, that we may be real human beings, real people, your sons and daughters, by faith in Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. Amen. Schools open, drive carefully, is a sign you will find in many places in the United States during these days. It's the beginning of the new school year in North America, as it is probably nearing the end of the school year in some other parts of the world. Please forgive me if I change that slogan a little bit today to schools open, strive carefully. That's good for any time of the year, in any part of the world. What I have to say comes from the Bible, the first chapter of Proverbs. How does a man become wise? The first step is to trust and reverence the Lord. That may sound old-fashioned to many people. It doesn't sound old-fashioned to me. The fact is that many people are beginning to discover how new and fresh it really is. They have had their fill of the new-fangled stuff that doesn't work, but becomes old-fashioned in a very short time. Our world is beginning to find out anew what the prophet Hosea was talking about. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, he said. There is swearing, lying, killing, stealing, and committing adultery. That comes from Hosea, not from this morning's newspaper. It is as fresh, however, as anything in this morning's newspaper. Why are these things taking place? Hosea asked. He gave his answer. There is no knowledge of God in the land. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. How can that be with the explosion of knowledge we see all around us? People who have studied the history of human thought say that the first doubling of knowledge occurred about the year 1750 A.D., the second doubling in the 1900s, the third occurred in 1950, and the fourth in 1960. The fifth and sixth are close at hand right now. Knowledge is multiplying rapidly all over the world. What has all this knowledge produced? A better world? Where people act more uprightly? Where they treat one another with greater consideration? Where parents and children live together with helpful understanding? Where husbands and wives are able to make a go of a marriage that would otherwise fail? Where young and old develop their capacities as human beings? I haven't noticed any great rush in that direction. Maybe you have, but I haven't. If anything, the direction has been backwards instead of forwards, or at best a standstill, in the swirling eddy of forces and counterforces that more and more appear to govern human history. Earlier this year, Time magazine ran an article on education entitled, What the Schools Cannot Do. It stated some of the theories of the Western world, like John Locke's idea that children are born with their minds a blank slate and all children are equally and infinitely educable. Or Rousseau with his theory that education makes men good and through them society is made better. Ideas like these flowered in many places into a kind of secular religion, which many people even today hesitate to question. It's almost heresy in many places to doubt that education can do the impossible. It is supposed to be the one last hope of man. If that doesn't work, nothing will. Now, I am not against education. I am very much for it. I was a teacher myself, and that's a mighty honorable profession. It takes a lot of drive to teach children or young people, and a lot of persistence to stay with it. It takes a lot of character to be a good teacher. I'm all for helping children to develop their capacities to the fullest. Being human, children often have to be pushed to do just that. Real education takes a lot of cooperation between parents and teachers, as well as from the whole community, which has a big stake in the developing lives of those young people. A lot of people can help, but the real participation has to be that of children and young people themselves. Nobody can do that for them. Everyone has to get his own education. Nobody can get it for him. That's one basic reason why the booming knowledge filling the stacks of our libraries and millions of cassette tapes, along with hundreds of hours of listening to radio or viewing TV, are not going to save the world. It was at the beginning of the atomic era, remember, that Albert Einstein remarked, "We are drifting toward a catastrophe beyond comparison. The catastrophe is personal throughout the world. That's where it really counts." Leading educators are beginning to point out that we have been expecting too much from our schools. Some have even had the courage to state that spending more and more money on schools does not make all that much difference in the end product, because money will not determine what is behind that well-painted face or inside the little head for which the face is eyes and ears. What I'm talking about today is the heart of man. If the heart of man is not set aright, to use the expression of the psalmist, no cosmetic can conceal it, not to speak about correcting the situation. Albert Camus, the late French novelist, was an atheist. He wrote, "Here is what frightens me, to see the sense of this life disappear, to see our reason for existence disappear. That is what is intolerable. Men cannot live without meaning." People try to live that way today, and they die that way. The world is trying to live that way today, and the world is dying that way today. A long time ago, the psalmist said, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." No really educated man with an educated mind and an educated heart can ever say, "There is no God." I don't have to argue that point. This is as self-evident as the nose on your face. Believing that there is a God, however, is not the answer to our world's problem. Some people think they have taken a great step forward, made a great concession, when they admit finally to themselves and to others that there is a God. There's nothing particularly wise about that, when to do anything else is the rankest kind of stupidity. It is time the whole world went to school again to acquire an educated mind and an educated heart. This is wisdom, so old that it is proverbial and so new that it is exciting. How does a man become wise? The first step is to trust and reverence the Lord. The man who said that was not putting down education. He went on to say, "Only fools refuse to be taught." What he was saying is that there's a lot more to education than the mere acquisition of knowledge. There's a lot more to education than learning how to make a living, valuable as that may be. There's a lot more to education than getting a college diploma, a process that has been almost canonized throughout the world today. An educated man or woman has to take the first step if wisdom is the goal. And that step is trust and reverence for the Lord. That first step is mighty important. Parents wait for the first step that their baby will take, and some of them take pictures of the event. That's how important they regard it to be. We remember the first day that our oldest boy went to school. My wife can tell you how he went off that morning to a kindergarten class like an adventurer looking for a new world to conquer. She can tell you what he said when he came home at noon, threw himself on the couch, lay back with a great smile of satisfaction on his face, and said, "That was wonderful." This boy and others with him took the first step to wisdom a long time before they went to school. The knowledge that makes a man and a woman can begin very early. It begins with trust in the Lord and reverence for the Lord. Nobody in this world of ours is more ready for that than children. You tell children that God loves them, and they believe you. You tell children that the Son of God died for them, and they believe you. You tell them that Jesus Christ is alive and well, and they believe you. Our Lord said of children, "Of such is the kingdom of God. Unless you become like little children, you will never make it yourselves." You don't have to convince children about the reality of human sin in the world. You don't have to tell them that they're sinners. They know it. You may have to convince their parents that they are sinners, but children don't need convincing. It's only when people get older that they fool themselves into thinking of sin as something that everybody does, and therefore it is not really sin. Only when children get older, and here I must admit that some children today get old before their time, only then do they think of forgiveness as something to be rejected because it demeans the human personality. There's something mighty demeaning about human sin. It demeans all of life. There's nothing demeaning, however, about forgiveness. The forgiveness of God, as you see it in Jesus Christ, crucified for our sins and brought to life again as Lord of all, gives meaning to life. New, bright, joyful meaning. It takes faith to believe in Jesus Christ, that he really forgives, that he really gives life. It's like the faith of little children. It's the first step to wisdom, which calls on everyone, young or old, to trust and reverence the Lord. If this is the voice of wisdom, school is open for everyone. "Strive carefully," said the man who wrote Proverbs. "If young toughs tell you, 'Come and join us,' turn your back on them. 'We'll hide and rob and kill,' they say. 'Good or bad, we'll treat them all alike, and the loot we'll get. All kinds of stuff. Come on, throw in your lot with us. We'll split with you in equal shares.' 'Don't do it, son,' said the proverbialist. 'Stay far from men like that, for crime is their way of life, and murder is their specialty. When a bird sees a trap being set, it stays away. But not these men. They trap themselves. They lay booby traps for their own lives. Such is the faith of all who live by violence and murder, who die a violent death." The man who wrote Proverbs went on to say, "Wisdom shouts in the streets for a hearing. It calls out to the crowds along Main Street, and to the judges in their courts, to everyone in all the land. 'You simpletons,' she cries, 'how long will you go on being fools? How long will you scoff at wisdom and fight the facts? Come here and listen to me. I'll pour out the spirit of wisdom upon you and make you wise. I've called you so often, but still you won't come. I've pleaded, but all in vain. You've spurned my counsel and reproof. Some day you will be in trouble, and I'll laugh. Mock me, will you? I'll mock you. When the storm of terror surrounds you, when you are engulfed by anguish and distress, then I will not answer your cry for help. It will be too late, though you search for me ever so anxiously. For you close your eyes to the facts, and did not choose to reverence and trust the Lord. That's why you must eat the bitter fruit of having your own way. Experience the full terrors of the path that you have chosen. For you turned away from me to death. Your own complacency will kill you. Fools! But all who listen to me shall live in peace and safety, unafraid. Now that's the voice of wisdom talking. Schools open. Strive carefully. Strive with trust and reverence toward the Lord. That's the first step, the most important one, the crucial one, the indispensable one. Without it, nothing works. With it, everything goes. God is talking to you today, my friend. No matter how old or young you are, it's not too late to go to school. Not as long as you can listen and learn and live. It's never too early to begin the remaking of our world. It begins with the first smile, the first touch an infant receives from someone who trusts and reverences the Lord. There's something in that smile, in that touch, of the peace and safety that comes to people from the Lord and makes them unafraid. We have a Lord, we have, all of us. He tasted life and he tasted death, all of it, for all of us. He was raised from the dead by the glory of his Father. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is in charge. He can be trusted. He deserves our reverence, all of it. The greatest reverence you can show him is to accept his forgiveness and to live your life in him, with faith in him, learning of him, doing for him, living with him. Schools open, my friend, exciting and rewarding because of him. Trust in the Lord. Strive carefully. Reverence the Lord. Strive carefully. Schools open. Strive carefully. Amen.